and welcome to the 5-Minute Business Boost, where you get to choose your 5-Minute Investment. I'm your host, Sam Nix, and I'll be discussing topics under the headings of business development, marketing, photography, and much more. Well, hello. Here I am on today's episode celebrating 100 podcast episodes. Reaching 100 podcast episodes is a huge milestone. Well, in my little lunchbox area anyway. And I thought, what better way to mark it than turning the mic on myself? Oh, God, help you, you poor people. This episode is going to capture some reflections on my business journey, lessons learned, and what continues to drive me. It's a mix of stories, honesty, and a few surprises. So let's get cracking. Name Sam Hicks. What is your business name? Well, it's a long one. Sam Hicks Business Development, Marketing, Photography, because that covers the three areas that I love to dabble in. Industry and service area. Well, I give small business support across Northeast Victoria and throughout the state as a small business advisor and a mentor. I also do workshops, as you know, run a podcast and a whole plethora of other community things. One wild fact about me. Well, this was the hardest one. I ask my guests this all the time and I've had some absolute pearlers. But I couldn't really nail it down to one thing because I've done some crazy things in my life. But I suppose where I am at now, I'm a Virgo through and through. I'm competitive as hell for my clients. I'm fast, integrity-driven, and I'm obsessed with research. If somebody tells me you can't do that, my default response is always, why not? I'll dive deep into finding out how to make it happen. Also, if techno music is in the background, you can bet I'm getting things done. So that's my little go-to, often in the car. Anyway, so how did my business journey begin? Well, I was lucky to have a mentor early on, my boyfriend's mum, who ran a ceramic studio. At 14, she invited me to teach beginner classes after school, and that evolved into weekend workshops, product training, and eventually the chance to start my own studio at 18 when she and her hubby were retiring. In hindsight, it was a brilliant business model. I taught others, introduced new products, and created that real fear of missing out amongst the students, which boosted sales. But more than that, she taught me the value of sharing knowledge and encouraging others to step up. And that attitude of empowering others has stayed with me ever since. So what is my why? I ask clients this all the time because I think your origin story and your why that fuels your belly and why you do things is so important. My why was when I was 18, I went to a bank for a small $2,000 overdraft. And the bank manager at the time told me I should go home and find a husband because women have no place in business. You can imagine the look on my face and what I thought. When I spoke to my dad, he called it out for what it was as nonsense and said, go to a different bank and ask for 50% more. I reckon you're going to outgrow that figure and what your needs are in 12 months. And he was right. And I always say that to people. If you think you need 100, look at it. I think you're going to need 150. Always go 50% more because you can grow into that 50% really, really quickly. So here I was, I went back to a new bank. I took a handwritten plan on a scrap of A4 piece of paper. I didn't know what a business plan was, but it was just rough figures scribbled out with potential income and expenses and, you know, potentially how I could supplement my income, you know, have a side hustle, was going to go and get a part-time job as a backup just for 2 days a week. I'd already picked out where I was going to go. It was Portakiln in Dandenong South. And the manager just looked at my scrappy piece of paper and I thought, oh, I'm done. There's just no way. And fortunately enough, he said to me, you know what? Come back in the morning to sign the paperwork. So I left with funding. I had a studio full of secondhand gear and the support of my family and my then partner. And it wasn't just about back then proving the first guy wrong. It was about proving to myself that I could build something real. And it was only tiny, but it was mine. So what inspired me, Sam, to start my own business? So I tried a few part-time jobs, retail fit-outs, a printing house that I loved. But when a typewriter, yes, a golf ball, IBM Selectric, was one of the, and one of the earliest Apple computers made me redundant, I realized something, that I'd rather be self-employed than unemployed. And that's what I suppose spurred that whole journey off when I was 18, 19. I wanted to control my work, my direction, and my ideas, and I didn't want a machine deciding when I was no longer useful. So what then fuels my business journey? Well, in the early days, there weren't, and there wasn't, business advisory services. Without my mentor, I would have had no one to talk shop with. Local business networks didn't make space for young women with big ideas, and some chambers didn't even elect female presidents until decades after they started. And that was the small business landscape. And I was just absolutely horrified that there was no support. But it made me determined to stick to my knitting, as somebody very wisely said to me in 2006, that really, when things get hard, you need to stick to your knitting and batten down the hatches. And that's what I did. And, you know, I needed to be able to build the kind of support that I'd never had, to back the people who were just starting out, people with a passion and a purpose. So what has been my biggest challenge? I think for me, having to constantly adapt, whether it was due to changes in technology, market shifts, or industries being reshaped by international trade. And reshaped is a very kind word. It was actually slaughtered. I've had to move quickly, reimagine myself, and find new ways to serve, you know, to make money, to be able to do what I enjoy doing. Because at the end of the day, if you don't enjoy what you're doing, what the hell are you doing it for? So you need to learn fast when standing still isn't an option. So what's my most significant milestone? Oh, I've had so many, but I think collectively, when I look at the figures and the stats, because I love a bit of research and a bit of stats and figures, since 2000, I have worked with well over 3,000 small businesses. And that is a huge figure for one little possum such as me. But, you know, that's been obtained through one-on-one mentoring, workshops. You know, I've delivered thousands of workshops. I've delivered thousands of webinars. You know, and that's a lot of conversations. It's a lot of whiteboard scribbles and a lot of light bulb moments. And people say to me, oh, wow, that's such a powerful position to be in, because, you know, I'm working with businesses on a daily thing, you know, like it's all sorts of things that I deal with businesses on or about in their businesses. But I learn just as much from them as what they do for me. It's always been a two-way street. And I think the real win isn't the number. Like, you know, I don't bandy those numbers around. It's probably the first time I've mentioned that in any shape or form. But it's knowing those people went on to build something stronger because they had somebody backing them. And I had this recently where I bumped into a lady and her hubby coming out of a retail shop. And she said to me, "You don't know me, but I think you're Sam." And I said, "Yes, I am." And I thought, oh God, what have I done? Am I in trouble? And she said to me, "I just wanted to tell you, through the COVID years, I was in the program that worked with businesses right across Victoria, and you were my mentor. And I just want to say how much of a difference you made to our lives and our business lives, because when we met with you, we had $1.19 in the bank." And I was absolutely gobsmacked, because COVID ripped the hearts out of so many businesses across our state, and indeed nationally and globally. But to have a business say that, you know, if it wasn't for me, you know, their outcome or their story or their journey could have been so different. And, you know, I listened to this couple talk about their business journey since, you know, and they grew that business up and they went on to sell it, and they are now doing something a little bit different. And I just, you know, that kept me buzzy all day, all week, because, you know, that is the kind of make a difference person that I am. And I love that feedback. I really do. Even, you know, 10, 15, 20 years down the track, I have businesses ring me or reach out and say, do you remember me? This is what we did all those years ago, and this is what's happened so far. And I get such a bloody buzz out of it. Anyway, so what lessons have I learned from running my own business? And I think my big one is that mantra that I bang on about, that anything is possible. It may not look like what you expected. You know, sometimes when we scribble an idea on a napkin or up on a whiteboard or on our phones, or we verbalize our idea for somebody, you know, fast track a couple of years down the track, it may look something so remarkably different, or it might be something so much bigger, or it might have started the journey and it's ended up taking you left instead of right, or around the roundabout a couple of times, but you get there. And it might have taken you longer. You know, I had a client reach out to me not so long ago via Messenger to say, you know, that plan we wrote all those years ago, and, you know, we put a timeline of 3 years, and, you know, this was a milestone that I had to knock off to know that I was there. Well, here I am 6 years down the track, and I've nailed that milestone to the wall. And I just wanted to share with you because I'm as proud as punch, and you helped me. You know, and I read that message about five times. I ended up in tears, not sad tears, but happy tears, that that person did not give up. That person showed true grit. And yes, it took that person a bit longer, but you know what? They did it, and their journey along has made them richer for it. So, and I think they've had to pivot. I hate that word, you know, pivot. But, you know, they had to pivot a couple of times left and right, but they got there in the end. And that idea that small beginnings can lead to huge outcomes, it is so real in business. You know, I've mentored thousands of businesses, as I said, you know, and sometimes, you know, I'll meet up with a business that has done remarkably well, probably even better than I have, which is what I want people to do. But, you know, I sit there and I think, oh my God, you know, I was a poopteenth or a drop in their ocean as far as helping them get to that journey. And that just fills my heart. And, you know, I think, well, my heart is full. You know, that person's gone on to do so much with their life, with their journey, and with their business. So you just have to keep moving, you have to keep learning, and you have to stay open to opportunities. You know, I meet so many older business owners, not as in age, but as in running their business age, and I think, oh my God, I think it's time that you shut up shop and go home and grow vegetables or travel, do something different with your lives. But that's where we're at. Anyway, so what advice would I give to aspiring small businesses? Now, you know, the small businesses I work with fall into a couple of different categories. Sometimes they're startups, sometimes they're established businesses. They might be looking to turn left instead of right. They might be looking at exit planning, all those things. But I always say to them, if you're aspiring to something in your business, you need to back your decisions with data, even if it's rough data, because otherwise you're just making decisions that, you know, not based on anything. And gut instinct is great, okay? More so in women than men, but I've known great businessmen who've got great gut instinct, or, you know, their hair stand up on the back of their neck on the start of their arms if things aren't going right or things seem a little off. But with women, it's gut instinct predominantly. But, and gut instinct is fantastic, but you've got to be able to combine it with insights or data or analytics. What's another bit? Another piece of advice would be invest in relationships. People build businesses. You know, I think in thousands and thousands of interactions, there's probably only be about three or four business owners that I didn't get on with. And it might be, you know, a clash of the egos. It might be they just gave me the creeps, or maybe they thought I was too loud or too honest or too brash or too imposing. I don't know. But you need to invest in relationships. You need to treat people how you want to be treated, and you have to believe in them. And you've got to have that integrity. You know, that is one thing that, you know, people say to me, Sam, we can tell you anything and we just know it's not going to go any further. Well, yeah, that's right, because that's how I've built my business to what it is today. You know, I have business owners divulging all sorts of stuff to me, and I sometimes think, oh my God, I could write a book. But then, you know, I would have to wait till a lot of people passed away before I could even do that. And would I really want to do that? No, because I've learned something from them, you know. I think the other big thing and the last thing is that you never feel 100% ready. And you need to start. You know, sometimes with businesses, if they're not 100%, I get them to go through the planning stages so that they can verbalize, so they can get that mindset going, so that they can get driven towards where they want to be, you know. And sometimes they'll say to me, oh, well, you know, that planning, you know, was great. Or sometimes they'll say, oh, well, it just stalled me for a couple of weeks or months. Yeah, but you know what? When I talk to you now, I know that you've got everything out of your head onto paper and you are verbalizing it with such passion, such knowledge, and you've got insights and data so that when somebody does tackle you and asks you the hard question, you've got that answer right there, right then. And that's the passion and the data and the detail that I want you to have so that you are empowered as a business owner. And I think the last one is giving back. I'd like to say that I've learned all of this knowledge out of a book. Well, you know, I did go back to school because, you know, somebody said to me, oh, you don't have any academic credentials. So I did go back to school. You know, I went back to school for many years online, in around COVID and kids and life and business and all those things. And, you know, I bloody worked hard for my MBA and I got it and my undergraduate certificates and all my diplomas and stuff. I've always done that because adult education, I think people need. You need to be able to be educated. You need to be able to talk it with the big scoffy, boffy, toffy people and talk to, you know, the local man down the street. You need that knowledge. And it's almost intelligent. What do they call it? Emotional intelligence. You need that as well. But the thing that I think has schooled me the most is the people that I've worked with, because I've learned just as much from them as they've learned from me. And I'm talking about all my community groups, my volunteers, grassroots organizations, you know, and everyday business owners who have taught me what grit really looks like. You know, it's not until you've sat with a business owner in their cafe on the floor crying tears because COVID had ripped everything out from underneath them. Or, you know, you've sat down with a business owner who wants to work on an exit strategy because their partner has got dementia. You haven't sat there when a business owner has lost everything to flood or fire, or they've had a death close to them in their family. You know, and yes, you can talk about resilience, but it is really about working with that business owner to work out what the process and the steps are and give back to them. It's their time. You need to give back to them. So whether, you know, I'm giving back through mentoring, speaking or community workshops, you know, it really is the most natural extension of what I do. It's not about having all the answers. Sometimes I don't, or sometimes I've got to research it or ask questions or ring somebody and go, oh my God, a person asked me this today and I have no idea where to start. You know, and those people closest to me who have been in that business situation, you know, will always assist me because they know when things get tough and they make that call to me, I step up. So it's about showing up. It's about sharing what you know and being part of something bigger than yourself. So final thoughts, because otherwise I'll just crap on forever. I never set out to create a podcast that would reach 100 episodes. I thought I'd die out about 60. I just wanted to help small business owners feel a little bit more confident, a little bit more informed, and a little less alone on a different channel, you know, so they don't have to read stuff. They can stick me in their ears and listen to me crap on about things. But, you know, and I want them to feel a little less alone because it is tough out there. It can be isolating. And that's still the goal. But to you, my listeners, thank you for being there, whether it's your first listen or your 100th. I'm glad that we're on this business journey together. And, you know, until next time, cheerio. And remember, anything is possible. Thanks for listening to the 5-Minute Business Boost. For more information, follow me on socials, sign up for my newsie, or check out my website to see how we can work together to reach your small business goals. Remember, anything is possible, especially in the northeast of Victoria. Until next time, cheerio.